On April 25, 2024, anti-Catholic Protestant James White and Vatican II sect member Jimmy Akin debated justification and salvation. Obviously, since he's a Protestant, James White is heretical on justification and salvation. We refute his false position in our videos called Protestantism's Big Justification Lie, What Millions Get Wrong About Ephesians, and Born Again Refutes Faith Alone. This video will not analyze all the arguments made in the debate. Rather, it's intended to correct a few of the serious misrepresentations of Catholic teaching made by Jimmy Akin during the discussion. Akin claims to be a Catholic, but sadly he's not. Some of the things Jimmy Akin said in the debate were quite scandalous and contrary to Catholic teaching. One of Akin's main arguments in the debate was to attempt to convince Protestants that Catholicism is not a false gospel because it's supposedly so close to Protestantism. Akin also described the teaching of Martin Luther and various Protestant sects as the true gospel.
And, correctly understood, Catholics can affirm faith alone. That's why the annex to the Joint Declaration says justification takes place by grace alone, by faith alone, apart from works. That leads us to the state of the Catholic Church with regard to justification. There has been a lot of dialogue in recent years, and I mentioned the Joint Declaration on Justification, which was signed by the Catholic Church and the Lutheran World Federation in 1999. It was joined by the World Methodist Council in 2006. It was approved by the Anglican Consultative Council in 2016. And it was signed by the World Communion of Reformed Churches in 2017. And it was concluded that even though we use different language, we shouldn't quarrel about words because we're actually agreed on substance when it comes to the gospel. And if it's people who think you can lose your salvation, then Martin Luther, Lutherans, Methodists, Anglicans, Pentecostals, General Baptists, and Free Will Baptists would all be teaching a false gospel. Well, I don't think those groups are teaching a false gospel, and so I don't think the Catholic Church is either.
Instead of trying to convince Protestants that Catholicism is not false because it's supposedly so similar to Protestantism, Akin should have told the non-Catholics in charity that they don't have the true gospel and that they won't be saved unless they embrace the Catholic faith, which alone is true Christianity. But Akin doesn't believe that. He sadly doesn't have the Catholic faith. Rather, he accepts the false ecumenical theology of the Vatican II religion, which holds that Protestants are in the Church of Christ, can be saved, etc. Thus, one of Akin's goals in the debate was to ensure the Protestant audience that they are not condemned for believing in Protestantism. It was a diabolical and fruitless endeavor. In his opening statement, Akin argued that Protestants are not anathematized for denying the teaching of ecumenical councils. His statements on this matter included a number of serious errors.
And that's led to some confusion about anathemas, because later Christians picked up this term from Paul, but they didn't always use it the same way Paul did. For example, in various church councils, they had canons, which were short statements that often took the form, if anyone says this, you know, some false theological statement, if anyone says this, let him be anathema. And that led some people to think that the Catholic Church was saying that these people are damned or they're cursed by God or things like that. For example, in his book, The Roman Catholic Controversy, James summarizes the teaching of the Council of Trent on the Mass by saying, anyone who denies the truthfulness of any of these proclamations is under the anathema of God. Okay? So, this envisions anathemas, this understanding envisions anathemas as a penalty imposed by God. It's commonly thought to involve being damned by God. It envisions anathemas applying to any human being, and it envisions anathemas taking effect automatically. As soon as you deny the proposition, you're under anathema. Therefore, it's thought that this applies to Protestants. You'll hear a lot of apologists, particularly on the Protestant side, saying that Protestants are anathema because they disagree with various things said by ecumenical councils. Well, it turns out all those things are false. So I'm going to tell you what an anathema actually is. It's changed in meaning over time. In the New Testament era, as BDAG, the most famous Greek lexicon, says, the word anathema meant a votive offering, cursed, accursed, or a curse. But later in church history, it came to mean an excommunication performed by the local bishop with a special ceremony. And to document that, you can look at the 1917 Code of Canon Law, which says, excommunication is a censure by which one is excluded from the communion of the faithful. Moreover, it is called anathema, especially when it is inflicted with the formalities that are described in the Roman Pontifical, the Roman Pontifical being a book of ceremonies that bishops use. So what this means is that in church documents, anathemas do not mean damned by God. Anathemas did not take effect automatically. They were a judicial sentence that was imposed, and the bishop had to do a special ceremony. Anathemas did not apply to non-Catholics for two reasons. One reason is bishops have better things to do with their time than endless ceremonies for endless non-Catholics who disagree. And secondly, you can't be excommunicated from the Catholic Church if you're not a member of the Catholic Church. So anathemas only applied to Catholics. And some more good news, anathemas no longer exist. They were abolished with the 1983 Code of Canon Law. And so anathemas do not apply to anyone today. And therefore, in the eyes of the Catholic Church, they don't apply to anybody here. So let's hear it for everybody not having to be under an anathema. That's good news. Okay.
Aiken argues that Protestants are not anathematized or condemned for rejecting Catholic dogmatic canons because, according to him, the term anathema only refers to a ceremonial excommunication pronounced by a bishop. That's wrong. He also claims that anathemas don't take effect automatically. That is also wrong. Aiken also claims that anathemas are no longer in effect, which is also wrong. Aiken bases his argument almost totally on a citation from the 1917 Code of Canon Law, which doesn't prove his claim. He cites Canon 2257 of the 1917 Code, which says that excommunication is also called anathema, especially when it is inflicted by a bishop with all the ceremonies. But it doesn't say that anathema only refers to such formal ceremonies. That's because anathema also refers to an automatic penalty or condemnation that falls upon someone who denies a dogmatic teaching of the Church. In fact, that's how the term is most frequently used in magisterial documents. Indeed, there are multiple passages in the Council of Trent itself that destroy Aiken's false claims about the meaning of anathema. For example, this is from Session 25 of the Council of Trent on Indulgences. Quote, "It, the Council, condemns with anathema, eosque anathemate damnat, those who assert that indulgences are useless or deny that there is in the Church the power of granting them." End quote. As we can see, those who deny the Church's teaching on indulgences are condemned with an anathema. Here the term anathema describes an automatic condemnation, not something reserved to the bishop. That refutes Aiken's claim. By the way, in ecclesiastical Latin, the th consonant group is pronounced simply as a t. For example, it's theologia rather than theologia. That's why I pronounced the ablative form of the Latin word anathema as anathemate, in case anyone was wondering. But we don't think it's a problem if someone always pronounces even the Latin word with the th as anathema. In Session 24, the Council used the term anathema to say the following about the validity of certain marriages. Quote, "And consequently that they are justly to be condemned, as the Holy Synod condemns those with anathema, eos sancta synodis anathemate damnat, who denied that they are true and valid," end quote. Again, here the Council of Trent used the term anathema to refer to an automatic condemnation that applied to those who denied its teaching, not to a solemn ceremony reserved to the bishop. Another passage is found in Session 24 of Trent. This statement is particularly interesting because it comes just before the dogmatic canons on the sacrament of matrimony. Quote, "decreeing these anathemas against the heretics themselves and their errors," end quote. One could hardly ask for a better refutation of Aiken's false claim about the meaning of anathema. Trent declares that its canons on marriage, which end with, "let him be anathema," decree anathemas against the heretics themselves who deny those teachings. Hence, the anathemas are automatic penalties that fall upon all heretics who contradict the Church's dogmatic statements.
Anathemas did not take effect automatically. Anathemas did not apply to non-Catholics.
Thus, when the Church adds, "let him be anathema," to a dogmatic canon, it indeed means that people who choose to embrace the condemned position and deny the Church's teaching automatically incur an anathema. In this passage, Trent even uses the intensive pronoun ipsos when it says, "in ipsos hereticos," which means against the heretics themselves. Hence, the anathema is a penalty or condemnation that automatically strikes Protestants and others who deny the Church's teaching. With these facts, Aiken's claim has been thoroughly refuted from the words of Trent itself. Aiken also claims that anathemas don't apply to non-Catholics. That's also wrong, as we've shown. The Church teaches that all the baptized, including baptized non-Catholics, are subject to the Church's power and bound to the observance of Christian law by virtue of the baptismal character. See, for example, the Council of Trent's canons on baptism. Therefore, the anathemas that the Church promulgates against all who deny her teaching apply to all the baptized Protestants and other baptized individuals who dissent. Indeed, in the Bull Cantate Domino, the Council of Florence uses the verb anathematize to state, quote, "It, the Holy Roman Church, condemns, rejects, and anathematizes all who think opposed and contrary things, and declares them to be aliens from the body of Christ, which is the Church," end quote. Once again, we see that anathemas are automatically inflicted upon all who deny her teaching, completely refuting Aiken's false claim. Aiken also claims that anathemas don't apply today.
And some more good news, anathemas no longer exist. Anathemas do not apply to anyone today, and therefore, in the eyes of the Catholic Church, they don't apply to anybody here.
That's false. While anathemas are in effect dismissed by the counterfeit Vatican II religion and its antipopes, they still exist in God's sight and in the teaching of the Catholic Church. Anathemas are attached to a rejection of the Church's dogmatic teaching. As just one example of a 20th century reference, in his 1930 encyclical Casti Connubii, Pope Pius XI states, quote, "This truth of Christian faith is expressed by the teaching of the Council of Trent. Let no one be so rash as to assert that which the fathers of the council have placed under anathema, namely that there are precepts of God impossible for the just to observe," end quote. Pope Pius XI cites Trent to affirm that anathemas apply automatically to those who embrace that condemned heresy. Aiken also claims that anathemas do not mean damned by God.
So what this means is that in church documents, anathemas do not mean damned by God.
But that is also false. Being under an anathema does not mean that a person cannot possibly repent and convert. But such a person who is anathematized is condemned by God and will ultimately be damned unless he or she converts. Indeed, here's an interesting quote from Pope Stephen III, who correctly teaches that anathema means that a person will be damned by God unless he or she repents. Quote, "If anyone contrary to our wishes presumes to act against this our solemn and earnest exhortation, may he know that by the authority of my master, the blessed Peter, Prince of the Apostles, he is bound with the bond of an anathema, excluded from the kingdom of God, and consigned to eternal fire together with the devil and his cruel pomps and all the impious," end quote. Thus, we've proven that Jimmy Aiken was wrong on almost everything he said with regard to the meaning of anathema. The truth is that Aiken himself is under anathema for having denied Catholic teaching in various ways. It's also ironic that in this debate, Aiken stressed that, following the advice of St. Paul, he didn't want to quarrel over words.
But I'm not here to quarrel about words, as long as we agree on substance. That, even though we use different language, we shouldn't quarrel about words because we're actually agreed on substance when it comes to the gospel.
Aiken claimed that he didn't want to quarrel over words, but instead focus on substance. But what he actually did was make an argument about the meaning of a word, anathema, getting the meaning wrong in the process, with the result that he violated the substance of Catholic teaching when he told the Protestants and other non-Catholics that they aren't condemned for denying Catholic teaching. For what was the substance of Aiken's point in focusing on the meaning of anathema? His point was, of course, to tell the non-Catholics, don't worry, you are not condemned. You are fine where you are.
Anathemas do not apply to anyone today, and therefore, in the eyes of the Catholic Church, they don't apply to anybody here. So let's hear it for everybody, not having to be under an anathema. That's good news.
And that false message substantively violates Catholic teaching. Aiken also did not quote this passage from the Council of Trent, which states, quote, "After this Catholic doctrine on justification, which whosoever does not faithfully and firmly accept cannot be justified, it seemed good to the Holy Council to add these canons, that all may know not only what they must hold and follow, but also what to avoid and shun," end quote. The passage condemns Aiken's false message. Aiken didn't tell them what the Council of Trent does, namely, that anyone who dissents from Trent's decree cannot be justified. Aiken didn't deliver that message because he rejects it. Instead, he accepts the heresies of Vatican II, according to which Protestants and others who reject Catholic dogmas are in the Church of Christ, can be saved, can be saints, etc. Besides denying Catholic teaching, Aiken failed in his obligation of charity toward the Protestants, which is to tell them the truth they need to know to come out of their heresies and be saved. In this debate, Aiken also promoted the appalling and heretical joint declaration with the Lutherans on justification, which teaches the heresy of faith alone and that other Protestant heresies are not condemned by Trent. See our article on that heretical agreement. Aiken's statements in this debate are a prime example of how Vatican II's so-called Catholicism is counterfeit fake Catholicism. And while what Aiken said is directly contrary to true Catholic teaching, it is consistent with heretical Vatican II teaching. Here are clips in which Aiken teaches that Protestants and other non-Catholics may lawfully receive Holy Communion.
There are limited circumstances in which Protestant brothers and sisters are able to receive communion in the Catholic Church. There are situations in which, as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, Orthodox Christians may receive confession, communion, and the anointing of the sick in a Catholic church.
That's blatantly heretical and condemned by the Catholic Church. Here are other heretics from, quote, Catholic Answers teaching the heretical position that all the baptized are in the Church of Christ, which is directly contrary to Catholic dogma.
So, non-Catholic Christians are a part of the body of Christ in virtue of their valid baptism.
Ruth, if your non-Catholic friend is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in water, then he is part of the body of Christ.
Aiken completely denies the Church's teaching that there's no salvation outside the Church. He even teaches that Protestants who reject the papacy can be saved, which is a denial of the Church's teaching that those who reject the papacy or are divided from Catholics in government cannot be in the Church of Christ or be saved.
If the Roman Catholic Church says it's absolutely necessary for salvation that every creature submit to the Roman pontiff, what happens to justification of a Christian who willingly refuses to submit?
The Catholic Church's understanding is that God only holds people accountable for what they know to be true. And so if someone doesn't realize they need to be Catholic, God will only hold them accountable for the truth and light that they have in their lives.
So we've shown that Aiken was wrong on the meaning of anathema, an error which he expressed when he rejected the substance of Catholic teaching on the obligation to adhere to the Church's dogmatic canons. We've also shown that Aiken, the senior apologist for, quote, Catholic Answers, among his other heresies, promotes faith alone, that Protestants are not heretics, and that Martin Luther and many Protestant sects had and have the true gospel.
And if it's people who think you can lose your salvation, then Martin Luther, Lutherans, Methodists, Anglicans, Pentecostals, General Baptists, and Free Will Baptists would all be teaching a false gospel. Well, I don't think those groups are teaching a false gospel, and so I don't think the Catholic Church is either. Then Luther, Lutherans, Methodists, Anglicans, Pentecostals, General Baptists, Free Will Baptists, and all of the historic branches of Christianity would be preaching false gospels. And I don't think that's the case.
Aiken's statements demonstrate once again that the Vatican II religion is not Catholic, and that the obstinate defenders of the Vatican II sect are not Catholic. To be a true Christian and be saved, one must be a traditional Catholic, as our material explains.